Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. Today, you find us in a series on the book of Galatians. Nearly everything we want in life is something we work hard to earn. If we are not careful, we can think that salvation and relationship with God are to be earned as well. It is easy to get caught in a trap thinking we have to do enough to earn God's love. The truth is quite the opposite. God's love and grace are a free gift. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this in the book of Galatians, and it is a truth his original readers needed long ago and that we certainly need to hear today. Follow along, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Hello, my name is Abby. If you haven't met me before, it's nice to meet you. I am a senior girls small group leader. In fact, some of them might be your small group leader. And I love them so much. They're the best. And I go to North Greenville University. So that's like a tiny school about 35 minutes away from here, if you haven't heard of it. I'm a youth ministry major there, so this is what I love to do. I love to hang with students and share God's word with them. So this is super exciting for me. I have a picture of my family. Let's see. There they are. Caleb is not in my family, but he is my boyfriend, if you did not know. He interned here last summer. And then my mom and my dad, they do youth ministry in the state of Georgia, so they mentor youth pastors and their wives. And then my brother and my sister-in-law, they both work at Disney and they live at Disney. So they share the gospel with their coworkers all the time, and they see it as their mission field. So that's super cool. But that's my family. I'm not from South Carolina. I'm from Marietta, Georgia, which is basically Atlanta. If you're an Atlanta Braves fan, I live like 12 minutes from the Braves Stadium. That's always my fun fact. So go Braves. But yes, so that is me. I grew up super ingrained in the local church, and I accepted Christ around age 9. But when I got to middle school is when I really started growing in my relationship with the Lord. So this is a super sweet season, and I'm glad y'all are sitting here today. But we're going to continue in Galatians today, so if you guys want to flip in your Bible to Galatians 3, we're going to be talking about the end of Galatians 3, kind of we're mostly going to be talking about Galatians 4, the beginning of Galatians 4. But yes, if you guys want to flip there, honestly, this is a huge chunk of scripture, so we'll be taking a super bird's eye view of it. But let's see how well you guys have been listening. Galatians is written by who? Paul. I heard you guys say it. And then who is it written to? The church in Galatia. Amazing. Good job. And kind of throughout the whole book, Paul is unpacking a lot of the ideas of kind of like a false gospel that some of the Galatians are starting to believe. They're starting to add stuff to the gospel when really the gospel is simply Jesus and who Jesus is. And so that's kind of a theme that Paul is wrestling with the Galatians a lot in Galatians. But today, in today's message, we're going to kind of talk about two things that Paul really contrasts. And I'll let you guys help me figure out what that is in a minute. But we're going to read our passage, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll get going. Okay, so Galatians 3:28 through 4:11 says this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. All right, Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, I just pray over these students. I pray that any temptation they may have to distract themselves or distract others, Lord, that you would just take it away. I pray that you will help them to lock in for the next 20-ish minutes and just hear from your word. I pray that my words are not my words, but yours, Lord. And I just thank you for the opportunity to teach from your word today. And I thank you for your goodness and mercy. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, so let's talk about the two things that we kind of see contrasted in this passage. I would love if you guys could help me out. If you look at verses 1 through 7 specifically, there's kind of two things, and they both start with an S, and I would love if someone could raise their hand and tell me one or both of them. Yes. No, it's okay. And anyone want to give me one? Yes. Strawberries. Oh, no. Strawberries are very good. That is incorrect. Yes. Slaves is one of them. And sons. Good job. So the two things that Paul is kind of contrasting in this passage of scripture are slaves and sons, not strawberries. So the main point for today is this. Are you a slave to the world or are you a son of God? So if you're taking notes, and you want to write down the main point, it's this. So we're going to talk about some characteristics of both of those and kind of go into what it looks like to be either a slave to the world or a son of God. So we're going to start with slaves to the world. And when I talk about the concept of slaves in this passage, I kind of want us to get out of like our traditional mindset of exactly like what we think a slave is in our mind. In biblical times, slaves were mostly just servants or workers even who were simply under a master. So I kind of came up with a little bit of a definition to help us really understand what Paul is trying to say when it comes to like, what does it mean to be a slave to the world? And the definition is this: a slave to the world is simply one who is not free. So a slave to the world is one who is not free. And also, a slave to the world is kind of under the guardian or the manager, I guess, of the world. The world is in control over them. The world is the reason that they're not free, essentially. So there's kind of two main characteristics of slaves to the world and of children of God. But the two characteristics for slaves to the world is that, one, they're childish. And then two, they are enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. So we kind of see this throughout verses 1 through 3. So first, slaves to the world are childish. In verse 29, we see Paul kind of sets up the concept that if you are Christ's, then you are an heir. But here in verse 1, we see that the heir, as long as he is still a child, is not anything different than a slave. So they're only children. They have not grown up. They haven't received the inheritance yet. They're immature. They can't help but do the things of this world, essentially. And it says that they're still under guardians and managers. So in our context, basically, a slave to the world is one who is kind of stuck in their ways, who's not really growing in their relationship with the Lord, and who... is just stuck in the race. So like, think about, basically, this is how I was thinking about it when I was thinking about this. Let's say, you know, when you're in elementary school and you learn your ABCs and you learn that like fun little song or whatever. So think about, you learn your ABCs, right? But then you never learn how to read. You never learn how to write. And so you can't read, you can't write. You can't really even speak that well because you're not reading or writing. And you're just stuck with the ABCs and you got nothing to do about it. You're just walking around and you're like, A, B, C, D. But you just can't. Like, it's not helpful at all to you. That's kind of what it's like living as a slave to this world. It's like you're stuck with these elementary principles and they're not doing anything for you. They can't do anything for you. So slaves to the world, one, are childish. They're stuck with the childish principles. But then secondly, slaves to the world are also enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. So later on in this passage, in verse 9, Paul kind of uses two adjectives to describe these principles. Can anyone tell me what those are? Verse 9. He uses two adjectives. What are the principles? Anyone? Come on, guys. I believe in you. Yes. Weak and worthless. Correct. Gold star. He describes these principles as weak and worthless, which are two very strong adjectives. If something is worthless, that literally means that it's like completely pointless, doesn't mean anything, is not helpful at all. And also, these are principles of the world. And typically in scripture, when we see things described as of the world or as worldly, it essentially means that they are pretty sinful and pretty evil, because the things of this world are not the things of God. And so slaves are essentially trapped by their sin. They're trapped by their incessant need to lie, to gossip, to be angry, to be impatient, all of these things. And you may be sitting there and you may be thinking, I'm not really, like, enslaved is a strong word. Like, I'm not enslaved to anything. Like, really, right? Well, I'll be the first to tell you. Every night before I go to bed, I put two things by my bed. One of them is a Bible, and the other one is my phone. And I want you guys to tell me, and I have every good intention putting both of these things by my bed, because I'm like, I'll shut off my alarm, and then I'll grab my Bible, right? Right? What do you guys think I do 7 times out of 10 when I wake up in the morning? Grab my phone. Correct. I, in one way or the other, whether I like it or not, am slightly enslaved and trapped by that thing, because it's literally like an instinct in my brain. I'm like, shut off my alarm, check my text messages. That leads to scrolling on Instagram a little bit, and then I'll get to my Bible, right? But here's the thing. Every single time I do that, every single time I grab my phone before I grab my Bible, it returns void. It is not helpful at all. It does not give me joy. It does not give me peace. It does not give me anything. It is weak and it's worthless. And you may be thinking, okay, well, Abby, my parents make me put my phone outside my room, so I don't have that problem. I'm not enslaved to the things of this world. Okay, well, when's the last time you hung out with your friends and you looked back and you realized that all you did the whole time was talk about other people and talk about them badly? And you look back and you didn't even realize you were doing it, because you're just, it's such an instinct. It's such an instinct. Well, you're enslaved to that, whether you like it or not. Or maybe gossip's really not an issue for you. Maybe, though, your parents asked you to do something and you immediately responded in anger or frustration. And you didn't want to, because you love your parents, but we're worldly. We're sinful. And at times, we're slaves to this world. That's what it's like being enslaved to the things of this world. But, sorry, that's a lot of hopelessness, I know. But bear with me. There's two words in verse 4 that literally change everything. Paul writes, but when. Ooh, that's good. So he writes, but when. In verse 4 and 5, he kind of goes into this bridge, right? Over here, we have slaves to the world, which is a very hopeless thing. We're enslaved to the things of this world. Then there's the gospel. What? And then there's children of God, sons and daughters of God. And so verse 4 and 5, I'm just going to read it. He says this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So it bridges the hopelessness of being a slave to this world to the hope that is found in being a son or a daughter of God. In verse 5, we see that God sent forth his son for the purpose of redemption, to redeem those who are under the law. And being under the law is pretty similar to being a slave to the world, essentially. Being under the law in biblical times, essentially talking about like the old covenant, and talking about how before Jesus had come, there was no hope of reconciliation to Jesus. We always had to do things to be forgiven. But now, under the new covenant, when Jesus has come to redeem us, all we have to do is accept him into our hearts, which is really awesome. But then he also sent forth his son for the purpose of our reconciliation. And so we receive adoption as sons, which I'm going to talk about a little more later. But the reason that I wanted to kind of bridge the two things that we're comparing with the gospel is this. The main difference between being a slave to the world and being a son of God is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the true gospel of Jesus Christ, I mean what we've literally been talking about on Sunday mornings, is that Jesus plus nothing truly does equal everything. It's not Jesus plus me doing this or Jesus plus me doing that. It's simply Jesus. So we have that hope that's found in the gospel. And because of that, we have the opportunity and the ability to be sons and daughters of God. So we're going to talk about two characteristics of what it looks like to be a son and a daughter of God. First of all, being a son or daughter in God, we have the Holy Spirit slash adoption. And then secondly, we have the inheritance. So first, we receive the Holy Spirit. So in verse 6, Paul writes, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So the Holy Spirit is really cool because it's basically the thing that helps us and keeps us from being a slave to the world. The Holy Spirit is that thing that's like working inside of me that's like, "Abby, like, it's really probably better for you to pick up your Bible first thing in the morning." Like, that's the Holy Spirit working within me. The Holy Spirit is the thing that's working in me when I am talking to my friends and I realize that we're starting to talk about someone bad and I'm like, "Ooh, we should probably stop doing this." That's the Holy Spirit working inside of me. The Spirit in this verse, it says that it calls out Abba, Father. And this is an indicator of our adoption into the family of God, which is really cool. Because we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are literally children of God, as we sang and worshiped about earlier. So this is how we become sons and daughters. And not only are we adopted into the family of God, but we also receive the inheritance, which is such a cool thing. So when I think about inheritance, I don't know about you guys, but I think of that like one thing in my house that like I want one day when like either my parents pass away or like they move out. And it's like, you know, it's something that's not really ever been mine. It's kind of been the family's, but like I want to inherit it one day. Like, so everybody think in your mind, like, what's that one thing from my house that like I want one day? And y'all, I argue with my brother about this all the time. And it's our family Wii. And I don't know if you guys know what a Wii, I'm assuming y'all know what a Wii is. I hope you know what a Wii is. You know what a Wii is? Good. Okay. I'm like, I don't know, because Nintendo Switch is the whole thing nowadays. Anyways, but I just want the family Wii. I want to inherit that one day. And I have this argument with my brother every time I hang out with him. And it usually goes like this. He's like, "No, I want the Wii." And I'm like, "Well, you got the Switch." And then he's like, "You're right." So I think one day, guys, I'm going to get it. But here's the cool thing. This is a silly example, but here's the cool thing. Every time I talk about the inheritance that I want from my family one day, it's a one-day thing. It's not a right-now thing. But what's really cool about the inheritance that we receive in Christ Jesus is that it's ours right now. We don't have to wait for the one day. We literally receive the ability to be a son and a daughter of God right now. Freedom in Christ is ours right now. The ability to live as a son or daughter is ours right now. An abundant life in Christ Jesus is ours right now. I wrote, "How cool is this?" It is very cool. So let's kind of bring this home. Paul kind of brings this home in verses 8 through 11. Here's a couple of questions that I want to leave you guys with, and then you'll go to your small groups and keep talking and discussing things. So, students, are you a slave or are you a son? And what does this mean in your life? In verses 8 through 11, Paul says this: formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and the worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? And then he goes, I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. So here's two questions that I want you to think about this week as you go into this week. First, how can you turn back to the weak and the worthless elementary principles of the world? How can you? What are they giving you? At the end of the day, they're a return void every single time. They're weak and they're literally worthless. And if you have accepted Jesus into your heart and you are a son or a daughter of God, you don't have to turn back. You don't have to be enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. And if you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, why haven't you? And what's stopping you from being free in Christ Jesus? And then secondly, the last question I want to leave you with is this. What are you doing with the fact that you are adopted into the family of God? Paul is essentially like, did I labor for you in vain? Like, was all of this for nothing? Like, is the gospel for nothing? Why are you living like a slave to this world? Why are you living like a slave to this world? What are you doing with the fact that you're sitting in this chair right now? What are you doing with the fact that you get to be a part of a small group in a faith community? Are you going to go out into this week after today and just act like nothing happened today? Like you didn't read the word, you didn't spend time with Jesus? Are you going to go out into this next week and act like you did something today and you learned more about Jesus and you're going to go tell people about that and live as someone who is free? So those are the two questions that I want to leave you guys with. And yeah.